With you, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and also, no, I don't know how to do math, then we're going back over to chapter 3. Most people go from 3 to 4, but I'm going to go backwards this time, and verse 10 is the main one. So as you look to those and think of those, we want to be thinking about building blocks for a healthy body. Now, one of the things I learned to be good at when I was a child was building blocks, houses, Lincoln Logs, Legos, and those types of things. And I was pretty good at imagining and building some of the most weirdest looking buildings. They looked good, but it didn't take but a second for my brother to just kind of take his finger and knock them over. What does that tell you? I didn't build a very good building, did I? Because it is supposed to stand. When I went riding on a motorcycle, some of the deacons took me out in the country of West Virginia, and they showed me a barn that was built on a rock. Now, being a construction worker, I'm used to concrete footers and all this, you know, and laying it down and putting a good foundation. And I did think, well, the rock is pretty solid, so that's a pretty good foundation. But it was interesting that the rock was curved and how they built that building on that rock. But they did it, and it stayed there, and it has been there for years, I understand. So as we think about building blocks, we also think about the food pyramid that many of you may remember back in the 60s on the back of the cereal box, the little triangle. I don't know. I don't eat cereal anymore today, so I don't know if it's on there or not. But that little pyramid, the food pyramid, it had four basic things: milk, meats, fruits and vegetables, and grain products. And I understand that in the 1970s, the U.S. Department of Agriculture also added a fifth category: fat, sweets, and alcoholic beverages. As we think about those food groups, they built upon each other in a pyramid, and we see that this is part of this building that we're talking about as we look at Christians. The problem is that so many books have been written on diets and what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing in these building blocks here. Mark Twain probably said it the best. He said it this way: be careful about reading healthy books. You may die of a misprint. And as we think about that, we see today just so many people that are trying new diets, and somebody says, this works, and this works, and this doesn't work, and we've tried this, and this works. And the best thing I can say about healthy bodies in that instance is not to eat so much. Now, if you're in a Baptist church, that's not going to happen. Baptists are good at eating and meeting, aren't we? That's the only way we can get people to meet is to eat. And we eat at almost anything. But as we think about this morning, we want to look about the spiritual body of Christ. It needs building blocks to be healthy. Now, we just saw the children go out. We've got some younger ones that didn't come upstairs, that were already downstairs. But the only hope that those kids have is for us to teach them the Word of God and to build a foundation for them, isn't it? That's where it starts. We have to have a foundation. You cannot build a building without a foundation and expect for it to stay. It's hard enough when we get 60, 70, 100 miles an hour winds for a building to stay there that has had a great foundation. And as we think about that this morning, we have to realize that each one of us as Christians, newborn Christians, also need that foundation of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned before, in seminary, we had so many kids that were coming into the seminary that had gotten saved 6 months to a year and then were coming into seminary. Well, where was their foundation? How was their foundation laid? You can't hardly get a foundation laid if you haven't studied God's Word. If you haven't had time to get in church and let it be taught to you. When you go into seminary, that's fine-tuning. That's not trying to teach you the basics. So naturally, if you're not going into the seminary from a foundational laid, you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble, aren't you? You're not going to understand what is going on sometimes. So we need to lay that foundation. And as we look at that this morning quickly, there are several things. First of all, we see in verses 1 and 2, and I'll just read the verses as we get to those and not all at one time. We see in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, when I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. As we think about that, the German philosopher said this. He said, he compared us with porcupines of all people, but it makes sense. He said, the colder it gets outside, the more we like to huddle together to stay warm. And if you know that, if you've been left out in the cold, you know that you have body heat from each other and you give that heat off. So you want to do what? Close in together. But as a porcupine tries to close in together, what happens? The needles begin to pick and pierce the other porcupine, which forces them then to separate, to leave, and to leave the group, to go out and freeze to death in loneliness. We have so many people that have been stuck with the porcupine's needles that have left the church. Or maybe they're even in the church this morning. Maybe you're one of those that you have come this morning, but you feel like so many times you have left lonely, discouraged, and not filled. The answer to the problem of getting along is simple. It is called holy love. He says, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We like to do good things, and we like to be worthy of what we do, don't we? And this is what God is saying. Live a life of worthiness. Be worthy of being a Christian. Be worthy of being an imitator for me. Be worthy of being an ambassador for me. Do it the very best you can. And then in verse 2, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Now, I'll have to admit, those first two are not mine. I'm not humble a lot. I'm not arrogant, but I don't need to be. I'm not as humble as I should be. And I'm certainly not gentle. My wife tells me I'm the roughest person she's ever seen in her life. I'm not gentle in many areas. So as we think about that, we are to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient. Now, I can say that God's working on me on that one. I am much more patient today than I used to be. Still not where it needs to be, but it is getting there. Bearing with one another in love. I'm learning to love people that I never thought I could love. The other morning in the news, I heard of the guy that had committed suicide, Castro, to keep from having to spend eternity in jail. I listened to the girl, says, I have suffered for 10 years, now it's your time. And you know, I thought, you know, you're right on target, girl. He needs to suffer. And then I had a little bird called my wife that looked at me and she says, you know, God created him. God loves him. And we should too. And I hate it when she's right like that. But you know, here is a guy that did things that we think is terrible, the most worst things we could ever think of. And you know, God created him. Jesus died for him too. Jesus just didn't die for good people. He died for everybody, including this guy, including the leaders in Syria if they're doing the gas killings that they're doing. God died for them too. And our job is to love them. Second, we see in verses 3 through 7, maintaining unity in essentials. As we pick up there, we'll see that he says these things. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all. And as we think about that this morning, we think about the essential things. We see that God has said there is only one of me. There's not many of me. There is one. There is one body. There is one Spirit. There is one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. And as we think about that, we see that that is why he calls us together. We are to come together and to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. As I sat here this morning, I just realized as it flowed And as I looked in the bulletin, just how much this whole service has been about this scripture today. God is working in all of us, folks, if we would just open our eyes. The songs that we have sung is singing about the same thing that I'm preaching today. It is exactly the same thing. We see that God wants unity to come together. We can remain united, but we can think differently, can't we? We've got some in here that drive foreign cars. We have some that drive Fords and Chevrolets. We have people that like red and some that like blue and yellow and purple. We have all kinds of things that we differ in, don't we? But we remain what? In one. We're going to differ in different things, in different places, because each one of us are on a spiritual journey. And as we see that spiritual journey grow, we may be on one level and somebody else may be another level. I would hope that a person that accepts Jesus Christ this week would not be on the same level as what I am. I hope I have learned a little bit more than a person that's only known Christ for a week, wouldn't you? So we see that we grow, but there is still what? The same unity that comes together. And what may be a sin for me may not be a sin for somebody else right now. But our problem is to come together in unity. The third thing we see in verses 8 through 12 is serving one another with our spiritual gifts. As we pick up, we see in verse 7, we'll pick up, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives to the train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And as we look at that, we see also that he says these things. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we need to build one another up. God has given us gifts to use, and he expects us. That's why we're ambassadors for Christ on our jobs. There are so many different places that we are. Some were given to be apostles and teachers and preachers, and some were given other gifts, but we were to do all of it. In verse 12, he summarizes it, to prepare God's people for services of work. That's what it's all about. That sums it up. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I love to watch a building go up. As I see the foundation laid, I had a guy in my last church that decided he wanted to build a little pool house. And so he laid it all out. A guy came out there and he dug the trenches and he poured the concrete in it. And Howard looked and he says, man, he says, that don't look big enough. The contractor said, yeah, man, it's big enough. He says, no, I don't believe it is. Let's add on to it. When he added on to it, he found out the little pool house became a 3-bedroom beach house with 2 baths upstairs and a downstairs that he didn't plan on. He looked at that contractor and he says, you know, you were right. That foundation was big enough. God knows our foundation, people. He has built it for us, and we need to come together and use those spiritual gifts. And then in verses 12 to 16, we see the following things. He said, to prepare God's people for services of work so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measures of the fullness of Christ, then we will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all things grow up unto him who is the head, that is Christ. For him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. God has given each one of us those opportunities to serve him, whether it's to preach, to sing, to be a witness, to go to school. Whatever it is that he gives us to do, he has given it to us so that we will not be what? Tossed from side to side. How many, when you see a storm coming, will not run but look outside, and you see the wind and you see the trees blowing back and forth, back and forth? Sitting on the ship in the middle of the ocean, there's not a whole lot to do, and so you get to see waves, and you get to see the animals, and sometimes you can see trash, and it's pushed back and forth. And this is what he's talking about. As we grow up in Christians, not to be back and forth into Christianity and non-Christianity, but he says to be strong in it, not to be tossed, not to be infants. We need to get off the spiritual milk, he said, and get onto the spiritual meat and to grow. And as we see this, we see that as we begin talking about building up one another, encouraging one another, folks, we don't get it outside this world, do we? There is nothing on the outside that builds people up. The theory for success in the outside world is what? Step on whoever and whatever you have to do to get to the top. If you hurt somebody, oh well, it's all in the name of success, right? That's what we see in this world. That's what we're taught. But that's not God's success at all, is it? It is to be what? Humble, patient, kind, and to love one another, even in our differences. So as we see these and we think about these, the first four that we just talked about are inward focuses. They were on us. But the last two we look at in verses 15 through 16, we see having a Christ mentality, being like Christ. Christ set us so many examples, especially in the Gospels. He set the example of love in front of Pilate. He set the example in front of the Roman soldiers. He set the example in front of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when the ear was cut off of one, what did he say? Put your weapons down, and he healed the guy right there. Even though he was going to be arrested, he did it. The king, King Herod, looked at him and said, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. He doesn't seem to be a threat to me. Why is he a threat? Because Jesus wouldn't answer. He just let the thing go. And so we see that we need to have that same mentality of Christ. To love, no matter what. To cherish, no matter what. And then in chapter 3, verse 10, we see these words. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That is what the Great Commission is all about. We are to take it out. Keep reaching out. According to our Daily Bread, in 1997 in Grand Forks, North Dakota, they had a little uncomfortable situation. They had 8 blizzards, an ice storm, spring rains, and an early thaw that had transformed their comfortable homes, schools, stores, and churches into a world of water. Al Olston, the disaster relief coordinator for international aid, immediately arranged to flood this area with all kinds of truckloads, 8 truckloads of stuff and supplies that they needed, along with gospel tracts. They were distributed by the churches in that region. One man was deeply affected by this help. He had been very hostile. He had even tried to keep the church from being built across the street from him. He had done everything he could to block out Christianity. But when he saw how the church responded to the people in need, he said tearfully, "Now I've seen the church outside the walls." Folks, we can get comfortable in here, can't we? We can get very comfortable in here. We can come and worship. I mean, this could be our house that we come into. But it's not going to do anybody any good until what? We go out into this world that others can see outside of these walls. Not everybody's going to come inside these walls. And the only place they're going to hear about Jesus Christ is not through this church and this building or any other church, but they're going to see it and know about it through us. We need to reach out. As we think about this, we come to talk about what is a perfect church. Illustrations told about a church in a small community that was growing by leaps and bounds and filled up their church services. Wouldn't that be great if we could fill it up? And so they began to build a new building. And I said, "Preacher, we'll take care of the building. You keep on doing the preaching." And he said, "Okay, that works great." they were building it, and finally when it came to the end, as he came to see the things that they were doing, he entered the main doors, and he noticed the last row of pews had been installed. And he said, since people always fill the last row of pews first, we had a special feature installed. The chairman said, he pressed a button on the wall, and the pew moved forward, and another one popped up. The minister was very impressed with this. The big day finally came, and the preacher was excited. He looked out, and sure enough, the pews would pop up and move forward, and they'd keep filling them up. It came time for him to get up and preach, and he began to preach, and he was so excited. 12 o'clock come around, and he was still preaching. And all of a sudden, the church bells began to ring. And as they began to ring, they noticed that the pulpit and the preacher descended. What is the perfect church? I can guarantee you that if it's because of us, it's not perfect, is it? Because we're not perfect. None of us in this room is perfect this morning. So therefore, we do not have a perfect church. The perfect church we have is Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And so as we come to that this morning, we come to think about that. God has called us to be as perfect as we can, to challenge and to be better at everything that we do. And the question comes to mind is, will we work together with God's people to accomplish the task of loving and teaching and reaching our community for Christ? Do you have a heart for this community? Betty came to me not long after I became pastor of this church. She says, I've got a dream. I've got a vision. And I'm thinking, oh no, I'm not ready for anything like this now. I'm not even got my feet on the ground in this church yet, much less going to start something new. But you know, as she pursued it, she had a passion about it. She didn't go away. And I thank God now that she didn't go away. Because we have an opportunity now not only to feed them the physical food, but the spiritual food. We've had opportunities to sit down and pray for those that are sick and for their friends and their relatives and to sit down and talk with them. We may not have them in church, but they know Jesus. They pray. And they will let you know in a heartbeat. If we don't pray, they will tell you, you haven't prayed, we can't eat. And we don't always have to have a preacher to do it either, do we? But you see, that's how we reach people. Going out, not coming in. And so that's our challenge. Do we have a burden? Just as Betty had that burden for people that were homeless and couldn't find food, or maybe had to choose between paying their electric bill or buying medicine and having food. As we think about those things, do we have that passion for this community out here? I wonder how many people in this community know Jesus Christ. How many of our friends and neighbors and loved ones are going to go to heaven when that trumpet sounds with us? And how many will be left behind because we forgot to tell people about Jesus Christ, or we didn't have enough nerve or boldness to do it? Jesus had a passion for the people. What about us? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this challenge that you've given us, and we pray that we can build on this and become healthy spiritual leaders, Father, that we can tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, as we prepare to close this service, let us continue on with us as we go out this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.